Hello and welcome to the podcast that discusses all things gaming. Coming to you from the home of Indie PopCon, Gen Con, and the gaming capital of the world, this is The Established Facts. Everybody, and welcome to the After the Fact Indiana Comic Con edition. I don't have a note
paper
in front of me. You know, that thing.
2016.
The lips, the don't teeth, the tongue, and the thing. Mouth that doesn't work. What is this, episode 120?
Yes, actually,
hey,
I believe so.
That was a good guess. It's probably 121, but you know, he's going to give me the...
Continue, I'll figure it out.
Oh, I'm rambling. It's okay.
Rolling.
As we do, we are at Indiana Comic Con 2016. This is not a time warp, so... And we are kind of talking about some of the things that we've experienced at the con, what we like, what we don't like. Look at that, 120, man. I'm on it. I just got lucky, really. This is kind of our start of real con season. We've done a couple of smaller local cons that were a lot of fun.
HoosierCon. Take that water.
Yeah, take that water. And we've done HoosierCon, which was a lot of fun. And Indiana Comic Con kind of kicks off the big convention center cons. We got Indie PopCon coming up in June, Gen Con coming up in August.
And then we go hibernate.
In conjunction, yes. I think it's in July, but that's at the Wyndham Airport Hotel, I believe, or something.
In conjunction?
Yeah. I think it's in July. I know.
Was it at the Marriott the last couple of years?
It may be at the Marriott.
I don't know.
It wasn't the Marriott. It might have moved. I'm not sure.
Look up In Conjunction. It's a sci-fi convention.
Yeah. Sci-fi, gaming. They've got a lot of really fun stuff. Before I decide, to continue to ramble on and everyone just turns this episode off, let's go ahead and go around the table and see who's here with us, starting to my left.
This is Princess Katie.
I'm Avital.
This is Josh, producer of the podcast.
This is Josh, not producer of the podcast.
This is Aaron.
This is Lance, and I listen to the podcast.
And this is Prime, who's also not the producer of the podcast.
And this, of course, is your host, Big Don, who apparently can't get his foot out of his room. So, we're going to talk about some of the experiences that we've had at conventions in general, but specifically right now at Indiana Comic Con. One of the things that plagues cons are queues or lines, for those of you who live on this side of the pond. Lines when it comes to registration.
You mean queues for those who live on the other side of the pond.
He said lines for this side.
He did it right. Thank you, Katie. And Avital. And anyone else who didn't talk. Aaron and Josh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, all of them. something that obviously you have to deal with when you're at a convention is standing in lines, whether it comes to badge registration, event registration, getting autographs, buying things from artists. We've talked several times about some simple things that you can do to help kind of curtail the amount of time you spend in lines. But we really want to use the first part of the podcast with our Versus topic, talking about using a virtual queue system or even like a ticket number system like you might have used in the grocery store, 50 years ago. Standing in line for, at the deli, getting meat.
I was thinking more like the BMV, but...
No, I got it. Okay.
Apparently, I need to be on a podcast with,
I was with you because I am
you.
The old guy.
I knew you.
You said the grocery store.
That's what we need. You said 50 years ago, and I was like,
we need septuagenarians on our podcast.
The confused look at you you was because you said the grocery store.
Yeah,
and like I didn't,
B&B.
I didn't know you could pull from work. I mean, in the whole store.
No, the whole store.
No, like you
at the deli counter.
Deli counter.
Yeah, sure.
Things like that.
You don't take a number before you walk in the door just to wander around the store.
They only have that for gingers.
Oh man.
I take all the numbers. Any number I see, I'm taking.
I just take the whole dispenser and
on sale. On sale, taking it.
Now? So you're the guy who goes to the deli and I'm like, I don't actually need any meat, but I'm going to be next in line. And
yeah.
Number 20.
I'll take two pounds of meat.
Number 20. That's number 20.
Just take a whole row of them.
Yeah, there you go.
So moving back to queuing up in line.
Wow. So thanks for bringing us back for that detour, Katie.
I feel like this is a Sunday afternoon after a con podcast, and it really isn't.
It's a Saturday afternoon
after a con. I think we're all kind of, to an extent, sleep deprived.
Kind of in the middle of a con, actually. Not quite after the con.
So, anyway. So, physical queues versus a virtual queue system or a ticket-taking system. We're going to use that as our versus topic. What do you prefer? Josh and Aaron, this is the first time you guys have been on the show. The way that we do our versus topics is we go around the table and everybody kind of gives a quick fire answer as to what you like better. So, you know, tech versus standing in line. And then we'll go back around the table, kind of talk about why we feel the way we do about the answers that we've given. And then that usually leads into a discussion, which obviously our discussion is going to be Indiana Comic Con, but then also some of the things that we want to prepare people for when it comes to the con world and things like that. So I'm going to go ahead and start with Katie. We'll go around the table. So virtual line or physical line?
I've never actually been in a virtual line before. I've only ever been in a physical line to get autographs or pictures. So I will have to say physical line because I'm pretty ignorant on the whole virtual line thing.
Okay. Abital?
I've also only done an... Well, okay. I mean, like, I've paid for, like, a photo shoot.
Sure.
And so I'm going to have to say virtual line. And I'll talk more on that in a second.
Josh?
I'm going to go with virtual as well.
Since I just stood in line for 3 hours for two autographs, I'm going to say virtual line.
There you go.
Aaron?
I've used a virtual queue at other cons before, so I go virtual on that.
Go ahead, Lance.
I've been gone from the podcast for a while, so I get to be the official fence sitter today.
Hey, I've been gone too, so...
Hey, me too!
Me too!
But you guys chose sides, so I'm choosing the fence. You can have the fence pole.
Lance is on the fence. Prime?
Of course he is.
I don't know. I don't really have any experience with being in lines for autographs or photographs or anything, like selfies or whatever.
You just did today.
Okay. That was like 20 people. That was like 20 people, dude.
It was a line, man.
Okay. Have you ever waited in line for, say, concert tickets?
No.
Have you ever waited in line for anything ever that you were really looking forward to?
Has he ever really ever been looking forward to anything is the question.
Touche.
No. I'm completely apathetic.
Welfare checks.
This would be a first. So you don't have an answer?
I don't have an answer.
Okay.
That's acceptable.
Wow.
You're welcome.
We won't smite you till we're off the
Good
air.
Good lord. I'm going to have to say I definitely enjoy the virtual queue or being able to take like a number or something like that over standing in line.
Did anybody say physical?
Katie did.
Katie has strong experience.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, let's start there. Lance was on the fence.
Okay.
So if you had the experience of being able to do a virtual queue versus standing in line, keeping a guaranteed spot, Katie, how would you feel about that?
I mean, that'd be great because I could then, like, not have to stand in line with 80 million people in front of me and, like, I'd be like, oh, there's 17 people in front of me. I can make my way back over there, mosey, and get in line for my picture.
So I guess maybe that's kind of the question is why is something that is, like, a virtual line or ticket-taking kind of desired more than physically standing in line? I'm going to start with Lance because you're kind of the fence sitter, so you can kind of give us both sides of that.
Okay. I think it depends on what the goal of the line is.
Sure.
For example, getting tickets to an event, I wouldn't mind being able to call up and say, I'm going to be there at such a time. That's fine. But like today, standing in line for autographs for a specific celebrity, I liked standing in the physical line for that because then I get to talk with the people in that line about the thing that we're all passionate about, or sure, the person that we're all passionate about.
Sure.
So today in it was Leah Thompson's line for me. I got to talk with people about the different movies that she's been in. I saw that there was one kid who saw Back to the Future for the first time last year, Back to the Future year, and we got to compare like how it felt in the 80s to see that movie versus in the 2010s.
Sure.
So when you have that like-minded hive mind attitude of this is what we're all here for and it's great, and you can get along, I'd rather be in line with those people. But at like Disney, where you're just in line to ride a ride and then go and ride another ride, give me the virtual line anytime. Because
yeah,
then it's just go from one place to another to another.
Okay. Now, Josh, you said you waited in line for how long?
About 3 hours.
And who were you getting your autographs from?
I came to see Sean Schimmel and Chris Sabat.
Okay.
From
okay.
Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
We started with Chris because everyone seems to be more of a Vegeta fan. That took us about 2.5 hours to get through.
Wow.
So virtual line would have been awesome. I could have seen the rest of the con.
Right.
As opposed to standing there for 2.5 hours
right,
waiting. And as soon as we got out, we walked over to Sean's, and Aaron said, yeah, no, and walked away. And I stood there. That one only took about 1/2 hour. It moved a lot faster. But my knees hurt at this point.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just standing. So
and you were in line for three and a half hours. That's nuts. I don't know if I'd want to do that. I actually passed up a chance because we wanted to sit down and record one of my favorite cosplayers this year, doing autographs and things like that. And I was going to jump in line, and there was probably 50 people in line. I was like, there's no way I can sit down and do this podcast in any timely fashion if I want to stand in that line. And I think that for me, the draw to doing a virtual line is kind of being able to always have that saved seat, and then like maybe getting a text message or even a phone call and say, hey, this is your roll call for your line, and then maybe like, you know, having a physical line there so that you're attracting attention for people to get involved in ordering a ticket or getting a spot in that line, but then giving them a warning to say, hey, you know, 5 more minutes and you're going to be up, or your number's going to be up, and then you can actually have them come in and get into the queue for that specific person.
I remember a couple, I think it was either last year or the year before, when we had Tracy Hickman on before Gen mm-hmm. Con, and he was discussing the business plan that he had out there for doing a virtual queue
sure.
system, that was something that was a real issue in a lot of conventions. I know PopCon last year, had they had any amount of virtual something to handle the YouTube line, it would have helped out a lot.
Right.
But
insane.
All day, I mean, pretty much the second half of today, most of the big name lines were full the whole time.
Yeah.
Which was good, but they were, it looked like they were doing almost entirely virtual based, and most of the big name folks, because you'd have to pay for your selfie or your autograph or whatever before you could get in line. That way there wasn't a transaction going on at the table, and it was just, you're getting in line to go see whoever this is. But you still were paying to wait in line. Were you paying for a time slot?
It really depended on what you went for. I had the honor of doing both, so I did do an autograph and I did a photo. The photo op said, be here at this such and such a time. The autograph was just, she's going to be here from this time to this time. If you're in line, you're in line. If you're not here, well, then hopefully you can get to the next one. So there was no specific set time for that one. But for photos, you had a very specific, yours is 11:15, yours is 11:16, yours is 11:17. So the people would get there 30 minutes early. What time's on your card? I'm sorry, you can't get in line yet.
Photos you could pay early. For the autographs, we actually did still pay at the table.
Oh, you did? Okay.
For a couple of the guests.
For some
of the guests, they still had you pay at the table, which does kind of slow down the entire process. I would like to argue at least for physical for 1 second. This is my first con, and I think that It's kind of like paying your dues. You know, your first time, you got to go stand in line and get the experience at some point. I was actually looking forward to it until about hour two and a half.
Right.
I was done.
And I think that the draw to having a physical line where people are present because they've ordered that slot, but then also having the availability to order that slot, being able to come in and say, okay, I want to take slot 24, which happens to be at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, because I'm not doing anything at that time. I can go around and see the exhibit hall first. To me, that's kind of the big draw. And you still get that experience of being able to stand in line and have that anticipation build and being able to kind of hang out and talk to people that are in line. Because for me, that's the draw of standing in any physical line is... You know, even if I'm at the bank or something like that, if I'm there for more than like 4 or 5 minutes, mostly because I'm a fairly extreme extrovert, I'm going to start talking to the person either in front of me or behind me just to kind of pass the time. Because if we're having a conversation, we're not focused on how long it's been since we got into this line. But after an hour, hour and a half of talking to the same people and the line moving just every, you know, 2 feet every, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, I mean, that's rough. Like, that to me takes away that draw to want to be in that line. And honestly, I think that that's probably one of the biggest turnaways for me when it comes to getting autographs and stuff like that. Like, I would much rather just try and luckily for us with being a podcast, when we do exhibitor stuff and things like that and we're there to set up early and they bring the... a lot of times they'll bring the people in who are doing autographs, guests, and stuff like that. And we might get an extra 5 or 10 minutes before the con opens for the VIP guys. And I'll just run over and I'll just say, you know, hey, you know, Edward James Olmos, I just want to let you know that, you know, Battlestar Galactica, you were everything in that show for me. And I really appreciate everything you've done. And just having that 5 second exchange to me is enough to say, yeah, I met Edward James Olmos, you know what I mean? And I didn't have to stand in line, and I didn't have to pay whatever the money is for the autograph and the photo op. Go ahead.
We're focusing a lot on the positives for the individual ones. A positive for a standing in line is you might draw more of a crowd that way. Like people say,
right.
If anytime anyone sees a line, what's that line
for? Yeah. Who's that over there?
Yeah, yeah. Instead of, oh, I'm here to see this one person, but oh, look, there's a line over there, and it's right. A short enough one that I might go over there and see who that is. A negative for the virtual line is, even though you have your specific time slot, we've all faced it. Life gets in the way.
Sure.
People's schedules come into conflict, and you end up standing in line anyway.
Yeah.
So. It might be a shorter line, but you're still ending up standing in line for 20 minutes, 30 minutes.
Yeah. That's very true.
My experience, when I went down to Cincinnati to see Jewel State, like I got there like early in the morning and stood in line for an autograph, and then went down to where the photos were and, you know, paid for my photo. And photos are... you guys said that there was, like, a very specific time on your, like, photo slots. But a lot of times at cons, it's, like, this chunk of time, and you have to come back during that chunk of time, like, before that time starts. And then you still have to stand in line and, you know, and wait for your picture. Of course, there's going to be a lot of people wanting pictures. But they will only, you know... sell as many slots as they know they have time for. I mean, they can get through a lot of people because it's just go stand and snap a picture and then it's...
Yeah,
done.
Yeah, the photo ops are... they feel a lot more streamlined than the autographs because you don't have that personal interaction that you do with the autographs, so they kind of know how many tickets they can sell within that time period.
Yeah.
And they've gotten really good about posting the rules for the photo ops, too. Like, if you want to do a specific pose... have it ready in your mind. If you have something you want to do, like hand to them so they hold it with you, have everything ready. And they have the right to say no. It's like they could just be sitting there. They'll look at you. They'll smile. They'll take your picture, and then they'll usher you out.
Okay, so I'll present, though it's not completely con-related, but it very well could be. My wife and I just got back from Disney World. Some of you may have seen that on Facebook. And one of the benefits they have at Disney World is the Fast Pass Plus system. And what that is you get the opportunity to reserve 3 certain rides at a particular time of day. They've just modified it to be particular time of day. And there are certain sets of rides that support FastPass Plus and some that do not. Whereas Universal Studios in Orlando, and I don't know if they have it in Hollywood, but I would think so, actually has like 10 or 12 rides that have this express ticket that you can pay for. You pay more for, but all of those rides, if you've got the ticket, you get into what would be their FastPass queue. So with Disney, it's limited to three, and then once you use those three, you can get up to three more, one at a time. Universal is that you get them all for a flat fee. For one, my question would be, which would you prefer in that instance? And do you think it could be applied at a convention level? I mean, they had, 12 significant artists or whatever that were in here. People could either A, pay for a chunk to be able to get time with each one of them, or if a VIP said, okay, there's 12 of them, you get to choose three. What do you see? I would probably prefer the latter, the option of, for one, having a VIP option, because everyone should get the equal opportunity. But if you're paying for a VIP, you're going to want treatment, and that makes sense. But having a VIP treatment where you get to choose X number to see. I know PopCon's planning on taking that route. All the VIPs get X number of meet and greets. So, thoughts? I don't know. I'm just kind of throwing that out there as an extension of the conversation.
I don't know. For me, Indiana Comic Con's like really unique in the fact that they don't have any VIP type ticketing at all. I mean, as opposed to most of the other cons that I go to, even ones that have virtual queues like Chicago TARDIS, they have like preferred memberships, and then they have steps up from that you can actually get ahead of people within the virtual queue. And Indiana Comic Con just is flat ticketing. You know, you either get a 3-day pass, you do single day passes, and you just wait in line with everybody else, which is really nice for everybody that can't afford the extra for the VIP. But at the same time, there's been many times, like last year and this year. Last year at Indiana Comic Con, I waited 3 hours for Billy West alone, and I was dying for just that opportunity at a VIP anything. So I think if they do it, it needs to be limited quantities like they usually are. But I feel like that takes away some of the charm, because I do find it charming that Indiana Comic Con doesn't offer VIPs. I think it's a very unique thing for a convention to go that route. It's not generally a popular route. It might be one that they give in on in the future, but I like that they've stuck to that so far for 3 years.
Kind of agree. VIP status is nice if you can afford it, but if not, then you're always left going, well, why does that person get to go ahead of the line just because they have more money than me? You know, I paid for my ticket too.
That's how it is. If you go to Cedar Point, they have the Fast Pass tickets you can buy that gives you front of the line for like every ride except for like the three newest ones, and you have to get like the, you know, Fast Pass plus whatever it is. Then you can get all of them. It's an extra like $70 on top of your ticket. But yeah, then you have people who have been waiting in line for this ride for 3 hours because it just opened. Then you see this family of like 10 people moving right up to the front of the line, and that just tends to increase hostility.
Yeah.
Especially on a hot day.
Oh, so that was it. Especially outside at an amusement park, a theme park, someplace like that, for sure.
Well, I think you have the same emotional connection to that if you go to a restaurant and somebody's put in reservations for 8 o'clock and you walk in at 7:30. And they say, oh, your wait's 45 minutes, and then at 8 o'clock, these people walk in and literally get seated immediately, and you're like, well, what the heck? I've been waiting here for 45 minutes, and, you know, I still got 10 more minutes to go before I'm going to get my seat.
I would think that the hostility increases the longer you've been in line. 45 minutes, yeah. Not so long to wait.
Well,
but if you've been in line for 3 hours, like she said, right. Or he said, then yes, what the heck?
But in
at the same time, though, you get what you pay for. In that case, in the VIP case, if you want to pay that extra, then you should be able to get those types of benefits. Because getting a VIP pass generally for most conventions is significantly more than a regular pass. So why wouldn't you get those perks?
I mean, that's true.
Could you instead have maybe like a VIP meet and greet to where Like, you don't have to wait in line, but it's not at the regular time when the normal one is. Like, everybody else queues up like they do
kind of like
for
how they do with concerts and stuff like that.
Yeah, like a...
Stage pass.
Yeah. And I've gone... I've gone to conventions where they have time slots VIP only. And if you're VIP and you don't get within that time slot, you're general admission.
Everybody else,
so
yeah.
I love that idea.
I really like cool. that idea as well. Yeah, that's kind of a really good in-between, you know, having the perk of being a VIP, but, I mean, it's really on your schedule. If you decide you're not going to be there when that perk is there, then you're pretty much, you know, kind of screwing yourself in that situation.
Sure.
Overall, though, you know, I think that... having opportunities to have a VIP, like a VIP ticket to get extra perks or, you know, I know a lot of times we're going to be, we have the privilege of being the host podcast at Indie PopCon this year. And one of those cool opportunities that we have is to be able to put some swag in some of the VIP bags that they have. I think they're doing like 100 VIPs or something like that.
And maybe more than that.
We're working out getting some swag to put in there, some flyers and stuff like that. So I'm really excited about that, but I think that the one thing that bothers me a little bit about the separation between, and I guess you could call it kind of like a caste system between the general admission versus the VIP admission, is some of the perks, you just feel like you get left out when you don't. You know, if you go to Gen Con and... I have people throwing money at me. This is the first time I've gotten paid for podcasting. So if you,
how's it feel?
It feels right, Brian. So if you, if you go to Gen Con and you buy a VIG pass, and I think it costs like $500 or something like that for a VIG, you get a slew of different like swag bags and like different opportunities, and you get
front row seats to every panel,
and you get they have a special VIG party I think on Wednesday night that you're invited to go to, and you get first dibs on the hotel block. So there's a ton of perks that you get for paying $500.
Right, but the general public is not invited to a lot of that.
But that's that's what I was getting ready to say. If you're a general admission person, your swag bag is a coupon book at Gen Con. You know, the last couple of years they've done those, like, I get those bags, like the Gen Con bags that you get, stuff like that. But, and I'm not saying that you have to, you know, that you have to throw everybody something that's extremely cool. But, I mean, one thing that I really looked forward to up until the last 4 or 5 years of Gen Con was coming in and getting a swag bag with, like, maybe a promo pack of a new card game that was just released by somebody, and then, like, you know, a couple of dice from a couple different vendors advertising their booth and stuff like that. I think what they've done is obviously they've replaced that coupon book with saying, hey, you have all these coupons in here. Go to these places. They'll give you this swag for these different things, or they'll give you this discount if you bring this coupon, which I think is cool for promotional purposes. But I think it still kind of loses its luster because some people, like our friend Derek, you know, they only have a certain amount of hours that they get to spend in the exhibit hall because they're running games or they're helping host different events. And so the time that they do spend in the exhibit hall, they want to play a new game. They don't want to have to walk around for 3 hours trying to get the promo stuff out of the coupon book. 9 times out of 10, they just throw it at one of us and say, hey, I can't get half of this stuff. Go ahead and, you know, have at it. So, I mean, like, how do you guys feel about, in general, when it comes to, or like in Indiana Comic Con, there's not a whole lot, there's not really a swag bag thing. And a lot of cons don't do that. And maybe I'm kind of barking up the wrong tree when it comes to that kind of thing. But how do you feel about, you know, promo stuff or swag as it would from different places and being able to have that versus, you know, paying an exuberant amount of money compared to everybody else and missing out on so much more compared to what you are going to get if you're a general admission?
I know we've discussed multiple times the swag bag and why we don't like the fact that they got rid of it and went to the coupon book. And I think I'm growing more and more against the fact that gave us the coupon book because the price for Gen Con keeps going up.
Yeah. Well, and obviously this year it's because they have Lucas Oil Stadium.
True. And I know they're paying for the extra space, and they're divvying that out to everybody, and that's fine. But you're asking people to do something that last year they paid $80 for, and next year, no, it's $120.
Right now?
No, right now it's not. It's 90.
If you get your
sure,
yourself.
But it'll be $120 when you walk in.
Yeah.
Which
at the door.
Yeah, that's a significant
that's
upcharge.
An amount of money
for a coupon book and access to the convention.
Right.
When VIGs are paying $500 and they're getting all those extra perks and so forth.
At this point, it's almost worth spending the extra money for the VIG. Because you're already going to pay $120.
True,
for,
but
you know,
there's a limited much. There's a limited number there.
Sure.
And that's a, but
sure. Yeah.
They're
fast.
Yeah.
I hope that Gen Con's cost increase is worth the increase. I have thought the last couple years that though the coupon book has kind of sucked, they've had a lot of things going on to make the cost increase worth it.
Sure.
This is a $30 price increase from last year. It better be worth it.
Right. Well, you're talking, what, this is year 49?
Next year's 50. Yeah.
And, I mean, if I'm going to pay $120, $150 for a 50th anniversary for Gen Con...
Give me a swag bag.
You better be. Yeah, you better give me something.
Right.
You know, and not even saying, I'm still going to go to Gen Con. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, it's going to... It kind of leaves a little bit of a sour taste in your mouth when it's like, hey, you know, they have this really cool free dance party you can go to on Saturday night. Well, I'm at Gen Con, so I'm playing games on set. If I wanted to go to a dance party on Saturday night, I live in Indianapolis, Indiana. There's enough places for me to be able to do that 365 days of the year. This Saturday night, I'm playing games.
Yeah, but it isn't a winter-themed dance party during the middle of the summer.
Well, that's kind of silly.
Let it go.
But I guess, I mean, you know, I agree with you, Josh. That's kind of my point. It's like, when you're looking at spending money on cons, and I, you know, I open this up to our, you know, kind of our discussion. When you're spending money on admission for cons, you know, Gen Con is a big deal. They're going to have probably 70, 75,000 people this year at Gen Con. $120 at the door is a load of money. I mean, that's a lot of money. And but what kind of things do you think you need to see at Gen Con or a convention like any convention that you're spending? You know, the price for Indie Pop Con and for Indiana Comic Con is fairly marginal. I think it's $60.
$60 for the weekend, $45 for today, $35 for Friday or Sunday.
Right, and I think that's a, in my opinion, really kind of the
a
good
your 30 to 40 range
spending,
usually.
You're spending money on a convention that you feel like is going to be worth it, but you're not spending too much.
Yeah.
And I think that when you start to get into that upper echelon of like $80, $90, $100, over $100, what kind of quality do you guys need to see in a con for that to even be worth it? Anybody?
My first thought being here and what you're saying is I paid $45 to come here for the opportunity to buy more stuff that is usually overpriced already.
Right. That's true. That's true.
So if you're upcharging me $30 more on top of what if I'm paying $120 just to get in the door for the opportunity to buy something,
right?
I'm gonna look on Amazon first, honestly.
No, that's understandable.
Or
maybe
I'll wait outside the guy's hotel and be creepy. I don't know, but I mean, you're overpricing a lot of things here already, and now you want to keep increasing the price. What are you gonna do for me to pay for that? Right. Is my question.
What are the exclusives that you can only get at the con that makes it worth going?
Exactly.
To the con?
Yeah, right. You need con exclusives. Interactives, anything that you can actually get involved with, things that you get you in the door, and they just have to show it to you. They got to shove it in your face. I mean, they have to essentially show you how appreciative they are of you being here.
And that's kind of what I'm getting at. Personally, for me, it's the kind of like I love playing in the Pathfinder exclusive games that we play during the weekend.
Yeah.
Those cost $8.
They're $2 an hour, just like that. No, $10. It's $10 for the five-hour session. Yeah.
What's cool is you get like a fun Pathfinder exclusive mini for the con for playing in the game each day you play. So if you play Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, you get three cool minis. and you've gotten the experience to be able to sit down and play an exclusive game that they're only playing at that con for that weekend.
Well,
I like that.
Yes, they're only playing at that con in our region, because everything that happens Pathfinder Special-wise all runs at PaizoCon also.
Right. Well, and that's
because it's their con.
Right, that's a little bit different beast. But I mean, like, even to the extent of, like, you know, we've talked about this a little bit before, when they have, like, con promo minis or something, or, like, you can only come and play King of Tokyo at Gen Con and get the Space Penguin. You know what I mean? And you have to win in order to get that. Like, to me, if I'm paying $120 for the event, and then for Gen Con, and then I'm walking in and I'm putting $10, $12, $15 down to play King of Tokyo, I better get something.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, because the cost is coming out of the vendors.
With Gen Con, the $2 an hour charge they have for the games, I actually think is a completely reasonable charge. I might have said $1 an hour, but the $2 an hour charge is you're paying for the space, oftentimes in the hotels, and because the game masters are very often putting in, you know, 40 to 80 hours of their own time to get their badge paid for, that $2 an hour is to cover the badge cost,
right?
And in some cases, cover hotel costs. I don't mind paying $2 an hour in those game situations, but those games are often only available during Gen Con,
right?
And thus, you have the badge to get access to those games, and again, only available through Gen Con. I think that phrase is what you're paying for. And I think that's why I made the statement earlier that so far, the $80, and I'm being very open and honest, our podcast gets a couple of press badges, but otherwise everyone else in the podcast buys a badge. Right. That's what happens.
A couple.
Literally two. This year was two,
yeah.
Which we're extremely thankful for, thank you so much. We're not bad-mouthing Gen Con. We're not bad-mouthing any of the cons. It's just looking at the premise of, is the price increase going to be worth it? If you are paying $120 at the door, you are coming to the Gen Con the first year inside Lucas Oil Stadium.
Yeah.
That's a pretty significant thing to say. Is that only at Gen Con will you be able to have a convention experience inside Lucas Oil Stadium, which is fantastic.
Going into Lucas Oil Stadium during Gen Con will literally be, and I'm a huge Colts fan, literally be the first time I've ever been in Lucas Oil Stadium.
Only at Indiana Comic Con, which is where we are today, are you going to be able to meet Leah Thompson this year in Indiana?
Right.
Or are you going to be able to meet Ian McDermott?
I think when you're talking about cons that are not like Gen Con, Gen Con is the best 4 days of gaming. You still get industry people. You still get stars and stuff like that. But in general, I think what draws a lot of people to cons is the celebrities that come and some of the hype that's built around it. Katie, when it comes to what attracts you to different conventions and things like that, and then knowing, you know, allocating the price and allocating the time you need to set aside for, even if it's just one day, what's the process that you kind of go through personally to make it well worth the money that you're putting in?
Well, it depends on the convention, obviously. 'Cause like for me, Comic-Con, this is the second year in a row that I've only gone one day.
Sure.
Because I got online, I looked at the exhibit hall map, I was like, okay, I was like, you know, this is who's going to be there, this is what's going on, the exhibit hall's this big, I can see all of this in one day. I really wanted to get my picture with John Rhys-Davies, which I got.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Awesome.
It was really cool. But yeah, for me, like the smaller cons like PopCon and Comic-Con, the celebrities who are coming play a big part on how many days I want to be there, because maybe somebody's only going to be there Sunday. And I want to go Saturday, too, because that's the best day to go to see costumes and stuff. And for Gen Con, it's an entirely different beast, because I already know I'm going to be there all 4 days. You know, for me, a huge part of Gen Con is, you know, the super time-intensive, intricate cosplays that we do. So that's another big draw. And it is the gaming, too. It's to see, like, you know, what's Fantasy Flight going out this year? You know, what's going to be their exclusive only at Gen Con? We've got 50 copies. Everybody's going to bull rush the Fantasy Flight booth. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
it just depends on the con and what I decide is going to be worth my money, and what, you know, how I decide if I'm going to go all 4 days, 3 days, however many days it is.
Okay.
So is that our summary? Is only at only at XCon this can happen. Never mind. Only at Indiana Comic Con, only at Indie Pop Con, only at Gen Con. I mean, that is your draw. Is the money worth the things you will only see at this convention?
Certain, yeah.
Josh, go ahead.
That varies from convention to convention. I personally don't feel like... as far as Indiana Comic Con is concerned, $40 a day is worth it for me, because it only takes up half the convention center. That's probably partially because I'm spoiled doing Gen Con every year, so I already have high expectations, and it's somewhat difficult for other conventions to meet those expectations.
Charge that much is because they have so much space and they have that much attendance. They could double the attendance.
The fact of the matter is, too, it's not cheap to rent half of a convention center. So, I mean, they're going to have to at least charge a fair amount in order for them to be able to just afford, in order for them to just break even. But I think as far as things like Gen Con, I think it's worth the money that I've spent so far on passes. There are various other cons too, like PopCon, things like that, that I've always enjoyed thoroughly, and I would pay for tickets every year if I needed to.
The question I have for Avital is, if attendance continues to increase at any convention, and the price of that convention continues to go up, at what point does it start to become a little bit too much to continue to go? For example, if last year Gen Con had 65,000 people, and this year they're probably going to have 75,000 people, because every year they've grown at a fairly
5,000 to 10,000 a year, yeah.
Compared to other conventions around the world, mm-hmm. that convention grows so quickly in attendance.
If not more, considering they're expanding.
Right, if so not more, more. Right, right. And you're paying more money now than you ever have for a Gen Con badge. At what point do you just kind of say, okay, well, that's too much. Like, I can't do that, or, you know.
I don't know. I feel like my reasons for going to cons are different than a lot of other people's reasons for going to cons.
Why do you go to cons?
Well, all right, so, like, a lot of people, you know, I want to see this celebrity, you know, or this person, or whatever, this voice actor, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, not Gen Con as much, but I have gone to one convention specifically to see someone, and that was Jewel State.
Sure.
The Firefly. I mean, that's right. Unsurprising, considering right. I have a Kaylee costume. But, I mean, I really go to conventions for people.
Okay.
To spend time with friends, to see the people that are there, you sure. know, to see costumes, to wear a costume. I honestly, a lot of the time, it's like I'm spending money to hang out with friends, right. but it's such a fun environment that it's worth it for me. And Gen Con, as long as I have the funds, I'll probably keep paying whatever price it is, even if I don't necessarily play that many games while I'm there.
Okay.
Part of also what makes Gen Con worthwhile for me is that they have a bunch of writing workshops going on sure. all the time, and those are all free.
Okay. Okay.
Like different classes and things about writing and lots of various aspects of writing. And
it's
a lot of
paying, like paying for school more than okay.
Yeah. I mean, and a lot of that is related to the type of writing that I'm interested in, like fantasy type things and speculative fiction, fantasy, science fiction, sure. all that kind of stuff, which is yeah. unsurprisingly what a lot of people here are interested in, because it's right. all geeky stuff.
Right. That's a legitimate reason.
The good thing about Gen Con, since it's such a big convention, they've got a lot of those types of classes for just various things, like you know, building cosplay outfits or like you said, or right, yeah,
pole dancing.
Right, I mean, you know,
right, Katie,
yeah, just,
the list goes
a lot
on
of really
and on.
Fun,
you know?
Interesting things.
Yeah, so the bigger it gets, I feel like the more opportunity you'll get for that type of thing.
So to kind of help Aaron, how many cons have you been to in general? You go to cons all over the place.
Yeah, within, relatively within the region. Obviously, most of them in Indianapolis, any of them that pop up. I go to Chicago quite a bit.
How many would you say on average you've gone to in a year's time, like in the last, say, 3 years, on average?
I'd say on average, I average about 3 to 4.
3 to 4 cons a year?
There's been years that I've done seven or eight.
And then years you've done like 2.
Yeah.
Right on.
So
I guess what I'd really love is for us to kind of go around and talk about, especially, you know, Josh is a new con goer. This is his first con. Obviously there was some preparation you had to have to come and have a good time. I mean, obviously, you wanted to get autographs and things like that, but I would love for us to go around the table and kind of give, like, advice, tips to people who are getting into con going, or maybe you've been to Gen Con 12 years in a row, but you want to check out, you know, this year will be my 13th Gen Con, and it was my first Hoosier Con, and I had a blast. You know what I mean? Like, just kind of some advice or something to kind of help open the eyes of con goers in general. I'd love to go around the table and start with you, Aaron.
My preparation process, obviously I study the Dickens out of the schedules that they post, they're always going to post the panel schedules usually. If it's a good enough con, they'll post all the panels at least. A lot of times you don't get the autograph or photo op schedules until you're actually at the con. Indiana Comic Con did provide them beforehand on their website and their app, so that was fantastic. But you kind of have to pick and choose. I mean, there's a lot of panels I would love to go to, but if I'm here for one particular guest and they're starting their autographs maybe even just an hour and a half beforehand, I have to figure I'm probably not going to that panel because I might be waiting in line for 2 to 3 hours. I check out the schedule, I pack accordingly, I have a specific backpack I bring, a specific binder I bring to every con, and snacks, just quick snacks, because I don't know how long I'm going to be in line, because that's a big problem that you're going to run into if you're waiting in line for 3 hours, is, well, if I'm by myself, like yesterday I came to the convention by myself, today I had Josh with me, so we could trade off if one of us had to go to the bathroom or anything like that. But if you're by yourself, and especially if it had been my first con experience, I'm by myself, I'm in line for 3 hours, I can't leave to go get food, I can't leave to go to the bathroom, it might be my last con.
Right.
Yeah.
Comfortable shoes. that's a big one.
Yeah.
Big one. Food, water, bottle of water in your bag. You just have to pull out all the stops and give it a lot more consideration than my first con. I went to, I think I was 11 or 12, and I went with my dad, and we had no idea about the world at all, and I was not prepared for that. And the thing I took away from that was I'm never letting that happen again.
Right. Yep.
See that. So yeah, it's a lot of prep work. There are people that can come and enjoy the one day thing, but I feel like a lot of those people didn't get the full experience of it. A lot of conventions have a lot to offer, even not just, you know, Q&A panels. There are fan panels that are fantastic. I mean, I know there's a lot of Indianapolis natives that put a lot of hard work and time into those fan panels, and it shows, and I love to attend those. Check out the schedule, make sure you know everything that it has to offer, because there are a lot of people out there that just see the big names and they're like, oh, well, that con's for meeting that person, getting that person's autograph. But if you look beneath the surface, you'll find a lot of things in cons that you can enjoy.
Lance.
For me, preparing for a con starts way before the con does. It's, do I have the time off? Do I have the time that I can leave my kids and my wife at home if they want to stay at home and just have that time to myself? Or if I'm bringing the kids and my wife, is there going to be enough time where I can get away and just be with the kids? because they're going to get tired sooner, they're going to get hungry a lot more often. Am I going to sacrifice what I want to do for them, or am I just going to say, look, it'd be better if you guys didn't come, I'll just go the one day, it'll be a blitz, and I'll be out.
Sure.
So first, I got to get the time. Then it's got to be, is it financially feasible? Today was Leah Thompson Day for me. That's been calling it. I haven't even called it Comic-Con. It's just Leah Thompson Day. I was going to come see Leah Thompson no matter what it cost. But I might not have gone shopping if it would have been more cost prohibitive to do so. But she made it, her handlers made it affordable to be able to come and see her, and I did twice.
Sure.
After that, it's another money management thing. I love comics. I'm kind of a comic book geek when it comes to the group. I didn't buy a single comic book. I didn't look at many comic book things today because the money that I spent was allocated for going to see Leah Thompson and the celebrity thing. And if I spend more money, that means I don't get to take my daughter to the Children's Museum, or I don't get to take my son and buy him an outfit that I really want to have my mind set on for him. You know? So I have to, what sacrifices will I be willing to make? Do I be selfish because it's my one day of the month to just do what I want, or do I keep them in mind? And you know, I'd like that $4,000 comic book, but if I do that, my wife doesn't get our anniversary ring next year.
Right, you know? Right. And I don't think, I think that what I like about that idea is, it's not even saying that either side of that is wrong or right. It's just saying, okay, well, what do I want to do the most?
Where does my priorities lie?
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, buying, being able to buy an anniversary ring for your wife is very important for you, but it's also very cool for you to have the idea of, well, I could, instead of maybe getting this $4,000 comic book, maybe I'll just buy a couple penny comic books and sit down and, you know, read them with my daughter and keep them for my son when he's old enough to, you know what I mean? Like, I really like that idea of just having that mentality still in the back of your head going, I want to have a good time, and I know I can have a good time just as well spending $50 as spending $5,000, yeah. You know?
There's an X-Men for One for sale for $4,000.
Yeah.
Original print. So I just wanted to reach out and touch it to say I had.
Yeah.
But I know that I'm saving money for other things. So that plays a part. As far as advice goes, have a bag.
Yeah.
Is number one. Comfortable shoes is another good one. But have a bag. Fill it with something to drink, a small snack. Some deodorant would be nice for some folks.
Yeah.
Pen, paper. If you're going to see a celebrity, maybe something that is more geared toward them. A DVD, a poster of
a Twix bar. Them.
A Twix bar for Leah Thompson, whose first commercial was a Twix commercial. Howard the Duck DVD also.
Right.
Those types of things. So that it's more personal than you just go up there and I have a piece of paper that they give you.
Right.
Please put your name on it and then it. That's your whole interaction. She was very happy that I had the Twix because no one had ever brought her a Twix before. It made her smile.
Right. I heard you did a Pringles can.
Yeah. I wanted to buy a duck mask, but I couldn't find one. So I just got a couple of Pringles and made a duck face. And we ended up having a moment with that, too. And it made her laugh and smile. And she actually asked for a second copy of that photo for herself.
That's very cool.
Moments like that make the cost worth it. Because now I don't just have a memory. I have a story.
Right.
Oh, I paid $100 to go to that con. What'd you do? Stood in line all day.
Nothing. Right.
I paid $100 to go to that con. What'd you do? Stood in line all day. But at the end of that line, this happened.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
so much more worth it.
Yeah.
That manage your time, make rest breaks a part of your day. Otherwise, your back's going to hurt from standing when you're not used to standing all day.
Yeah. Especially on a concrete floor.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
And bring friends if you can. Try to hook up with a group just so you have people to talk to, because that's what this is for us. We're talking about our experiences.
Yeah, because even if you and I stand in line and I have absolutely no need for a Leah Thompson autograph, if we're standing in line together, we can joke about Back to the Future and all that stuff, you know, and then you get up there and you get to enjoy having that moment, and then it's like, oh, cool, we got to spend an hour and a half, 2 hours, 2.5 hours in line waiting on an autograph, but at least I wasn't bored.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, at least it was worth it.
Because boredom will stop you from coming to cons.
Right, absolutely. Josh?
I feel like you need to be prepared to improvise. There's a lot of things that you might plan for as, like, maybe a first-time goer. Like, let's say you want to do, like, 4 different autographs on a Saturday, but you're only going to have enough time to do 2 autographs because, like, in Josh's case, he took 3 hours altogether just to get 2. So, I mean, in that case, you kind of need to weigh your options of what's more important. Do you want to spend another, you know, spend the rest of the day trying to get one more autograph, or do you want to, you know, maybe spend some time actually walking around the exhibit hall or, you know, hanging out with friends or whatever, you know, taking pictures of cosplayers. Or, like, in the case of Gen Con, going to their cosplay competition or whatever it is. I think it's good to do research on... I think it's good to do research on what they've got going on. That way you can kind of plan accordingly, have a plan A, plan B, maybe even a plan C if that doesn't work. But yeah, I think overall planning ahead is good. Also bringing snacks is good too, because even if you do have time to get things, it's not always convenient to get food, at least from the convention perspective, because as far as where a lot of the conventions are downtown, you have to basically walk out of the convention center in order to get to any kind of food, and then you've got to pay, you know, mall prices or downtown prices for the food. So it's probably good to pack a lunch or pack some snacks, you know, just to be safe. Otherwise, I kind of play it loose because I don't necessarily have to worry about planning ahead with family or anything like that. I'm a single guy. I don't have any kids or anything like that. So I kind of just kind of, I'm there for the experience more or less. So.
I think from my experience being a dad that has a tendency to bring my kids to the con at least 1 or 2 days. I would say have something for them to do on the long, boring times, like for them anyway, like when they're sitting down playing Legos while you're recording a podcast. You know, just having, being able to realize that it's not only about your experience at the con, but it's about everybody that you are with. Even if it's somebody that you didn't come with, you know, that kind of caters to if you're a cosplayer. Not stopping in the middle of the hallway to get a picture taken, step to the side because people want to walk. If you're a big dude, don't wear a daggone backpack into the exhibit hall because you're just going to slug people around. I mean, I know you want to carry stuff. Find a small backpack.
Or
carry
a side satchel.
A mail bag, like a mail postal bag that just kind of straps around one shoulder or something like that. That's easier for you to get around. Or I've seen people do this. Just get one of those really big plastic shopping bags that some of the vendors have. Carry one of those around. Nobody's going to call you a bag lady because you're at a con carrying, you know, 2 or 3 bags in your hand. And it's a lot more courteous to the people around you. I was, you know, from experience, stopped in the hallway, happened to run into a friend of mine from high school. This was her first ever convention, period. She'd never been to a con. She was there with her husband. He had been to Gen Con a few times. And while we were standing there, the hallways weren't even crowded. But while we were standing in the exhibit hall, there must have been 3 guys that walked by and just bumped into her with their bags on. And I'm like... That's extremely rude. It's one thing if it's Gen Con and the arteries of the convention hall are extremely packed, stuff like that. That's hard to control. But when there's literally 15 to 30 feet between me and the next person and you still run into me, that's just not paying attention. It's not being courteous to the people around you. I want to have a good time. I want you to have a good time at the con. I'm going to make sure that what I do does not negatively influence your experience at the con. I would appreciate the same courtesy. But having a bag, comfortable shoes, snacks, water, things like that, probably the biggest thing for me and what I have learned over the last couple of years is make time for rest. And I don't just mean, yes, during the con, it's very important for you to take 10, 15 minutes. Just sit down, chill out. Even if it's on the floor, have a buddy there to help you up. You know what I mean? When your legs lock up from walking around the exhibit hall for 3 hours or something. But definitely rest when you get home, because that is the most important. You know, even if you just get sleep, like if you're at a bigger con like Gen Con, or even if you're like Indie Pop Con, it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday con, get sleep on Thursday night. Get sleep on Friday night, because you're probably not going to get a whole lot of sleep on Saturday, because you're going to want to do everything you can, and you're still going to feel that, you know, that super tired Sunday con goer. Everybody does. Mm-hmm. But make sure you anticipate that. You know, kind of beef up your protein before the weekend, because you're going to be on your feet. I mean, it sounds silly, but I mean, that's, you know, definitely consider what your food choices are and making sure that you're not being stupid with those things, because it's going to affect you negatively throughout the rest of the weekend. So, Katie.
I definitely want to add to the rest thing from Dawn. This is the first convention that I've ever fallen asleep at the convention. I actually took a about a 20-minute micro nap on a couch on the second story of the convention center this year, because I had procrastinated and I was up until like 5 in the morning working on costume stuff for today. And then I woke up and, you know, freaked out because I had to finish, you know, putting it together, because I'd slept for like maybe 20 minutes and then I put my costume together and then I took a shower and then I left and I came downtown and started my day. I do what I can. So yeah, definitely sleep, because like this year at this con it's not that big of a deal because this is the only day that I'm going. But I know, like, at Gen Con, you know, we wake up at, 6 in the morning on Friday, earlier on Saturday to get ready because our costumes take so long. So getting, like, any sleep that you can and eating.
Yeah, Friday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sleep during the day, because at nighttime you're not going to be dealing with costume problems.
Yep. So, yeah, and then, like Dawn said about eating right and having snacks, because sometimes you don't want to walk 18 miles to wherever is going to have, you know,
cheaper food
and not a mile-long line of people. Also, for somebody like me, I prefer to stay in the convention center because it doesn't matter what I'm wearing. I'm constantly freezing, so the more people I'm around, the better. Like, going outside of the convention center and, like, into a restaurant that's freezing is, like, the end of the game for me. So just make sure you're comfortable. Like, even if you have a costume, like, if there's something you can add to your costume that will fit with it. If you know you're cold, or if you know you're always hot, like one of those type of deals. Comfortable shoes. Yep. I learned that the hard way, for sure. My first Gen Con walking around in cheap, I bought them from China shoes.
Also, some kind of pain reliever in your bag.
Ibuprofen.
Yeah, anti-inflammatory. Yeah, you want that more than you do like an aspirin, because everything's gonna hurt. Yeah.
Yep. It sounds really silly, but take it from people who have been at cons several times. It works.
Take it about halfway through your day.
Yeah.
Your night will be so much better.
Take it with your lunch. Yep. You'll be fine. Yep. Go ahead, Avital.
My con prep usually has to do with costumes. I mean, I always have food and drink with me. I always have snacks. I always have water. Like,
that's just your daily thing, isn't it? Like, no, I'm being serious. Like, but don't you normally have like a couple bottles of water?
Oh, I drink a lot of water. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm on my feet, both my jobs, so I gotta be drinking water. But so I always try. It's hard for me to drink as much water at a convention that I do, like while I'm at work.
Right.
It's
so caught
hard.
Up in what's going on, and you're not,
Yeah, and then I'm like, I kind of have a headache. Oh,
right.
Oh, I haven't been drinking water, have I? Right. But a lot of my prep has to do with costumes, because I like costumes a lot. You know, I like wearing costumes. The costume I'm wearing today is much simpler, since like I was only going for one day. It was something that I had thrown together and taken some pictures in, and didn't know if I was going to actually wear it anywhere. It's for anyone that might happen to know, it's the character of Adrien Agreste from the French cartoon Miraculous Ladybug, which I don't know who would know about that.
You.
Besides,
person dressed as Adrian with the same shirt and a blonde wig on.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was their alter ego.
Yeah, and his alter ego, Chat Noir, which is the black cat superhero. And anyways, so this is a relatively simple costume, even though it does require me wearing a wig. But, you know, and I have a bag with snacks and drinks and pens and an extra phone charger. That is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if possible, if you know you're going to be using your phone a lot, whether to get in contact with people and take pictures, whatever, bring some kind of little portable battery charger. Like, you can buy ones that are real pretty cheap, and it'll charge up your phone, like, a whole charge.
Well, and even bringing, like, a full-on wall charger.
That, too, if you can't have...
Right, because sometimes it's Saturday and you used your power pack yesterday and forgot to charge it overnight, your phone's getting ready to die.
Yeah.
And that's why traveling with friends is important.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they're like, oh yeah, I got this cable.
I want to get a hold of my friends, I just turn my head to the left.
But, you know, like, I've been in contact with different friends and hang out with two whole separate groups of friends at the con today. You know, so that's cool. But my prep is costume prep, and so, like, yesterday I made sure I was like, hey, this is where my pants are, this is where my shirt is, this is where my wig is, like,
which, by the way, you should do that every day.
Yeah, pants, shirt, yeah,
all that,
wig.
Shoes,
every day.
Yeah, you wig, interrupted me. You know, and I set everything out, you know, this is where it is, so that when I get up in the morning, like, it's easy, I can just grab it and get ready and go out the door, so I don't have to, you know, try and spend a bunch of time in the morning getting ready, because that always usually ends up with being late.
And you're a multi-cosplayer, so you choose what you're going to wear per day.
Right.
So that's even more intensive.
Yeah, there's, like, for Gen Con, all 4 days that I will be at Gen Con, I'll be wearing a different costume every day. Well, and Indie Pop Con, 3 days, I'll be wearing something different every day. Saturday is the biggest day, so I'll be wearing my steampunk Lady Loki costume. I'll be entering the costume contest. I'm really excited about that, because I really, really, really like that cosplay. My mom, oh, she's so amazing. We put so much work into this costume. I'm still putting, like, extra finishing touches on it. I'm just so excited. Anyways, so prep, battery stuff, that's my advice.
Josh?
Well, on top of everything that has been said, because I'm pretty much in agreement with everything here, know your schedule. Not just the schedule of what's going on at the convention, but what you have committed to. Know it so much to the fact that whatever your time says, you're supposed to be there 15 minutes beforehand. And I know that doesn't always happen, but especially with Gen Con has been one of those things that I tend to before game registration, which, for those of you who are getting ready for that, game registration is May 15th at noon. They open up the game list is next week. So, the week before the 15th. But know your schedule, especially if you're meeting someone at that schedule. No, I'm not trying to direct this at you, Donald, even though you're laughing at me.
I wasn't laughing at you. I was laughing at an old guy that walked by, and I went, oh, look, cosplay Bernie Sanders.
So, know your schedule.
Sorry.
Make sure you are at the things you paid for.
Yeah.
And that's especially critical for games at Gen Con or situations like your photo ops that were going on here. If you paid for it, be there. It's a combination of it's your money, and it's just respectful for the person that's expecting you. However, if you have something in mind and haven't paid for it ahead of time, be ready to say no if it conflicts with your schedule or your finances. And you need to be okay with saying no. I'm very much a yes man on a lot of things, but when it comes to a convention, if I've got a 7 o'clock Pathfinder Society game and someone wants me to go to dinner at 6, that's probably not going to work. We got to either be at dinner at 5:15 or 5:30, or I'm getting it on my own. Because a sit-down gathering is not going to work for me to get to the Society game at 7 o'clock.
I would even say, even if it's at 5 o'clock, a sit-down place downtown.
Just pushing it.
Pushing it.
Yeah.
If you need to be somewhere at 7 o'clock, it's probably better for you to start thinking about dinner at like 4:30 or grab food truck stuff.
Well, so with all the stuff that's been mentioned and what should be in your bag and what you should do for preparation, know your schedule. If you're the type of person who doesn't like to be on a strict schedule, make sure that you are respectful of the people that have a schedule.
Sure.
It's a lot of that, I can admit to being a control freak thing, but when it comes to a con the size of Gen Con, a schedule to me is really important, because otherwise I could get just, I could be in the exhibit hall in 3 hours and be gone. I have no idea what just happened. And honestly, the same thing happened today, because I came to Indiana Comic Con with the only schedule was I had paid for my ticket, I need to eat lunch, and I need to record this podcast. Otherwise, it's just, I'm just kind of going in and doing my thing, which is really strange for me. So when I looked at my clock and it was 11:30 and we'd already been here almost 3 hours, I was like, what happened?
Where has the time gone?
So it's definitely, for me, being the schedule person, having the schedule is important. But if you are not a schedule person, be cognizant of, hey, this person said they got to be somewhere. Let's not try and abuse that. That would kind of be what I would add to the conversation.
If I can add something, you made me think of something with the whole scheduling. Too bad. When it comes to making your schedule, this is going to sound awful and selfish. Make it all about you, all about what you want to do. It is your convention, like Josh said, and this works for me because I'm single, so I don't have to, you know, I don't have kids that I'm like, I want to make sure the kids see this or my husband sees that. But go do the things that you want to do, and as much as you love your friends, as you want to see your friends, if there's something you absolutely want to do, and like Josh said, they want to get dinner, like, skip the dinner. Go do the thing you want to do, and, you know,
but
make sure...
But don't skip dinner.
Don't skip dinner.
Don't skip dinner. Just eat dinner with them. And eat your own dinner on your own time so you can do what you want to do, because, you know, it's all about getting as much as you can out of the convention, and if you look back and say, oh, man, I missed out on 8 events I wanted to do because I went and did things other people were doing that I wasn't really interested in. Like, and
if you're paying,
you end up missing out on a lot of things, and you feel like you didn't spend your con as wisely as you could have.
And if you're paying $100, $120 for a ticket for all weekend, then get your money's worth.
Sure.
Josh?
Well, I think it's interesting that you saved the first-time goer for last for advice, so I can't bank on what everyone else has already said.
Good luck.
I'm gonna take a different route, though. A lot of you mentioned, you know, go with friends to have fun. I didn't do a lot of prepping because I came with Aaron, and that's what he loves to do, so I let him do that. But I would also say hook up with your friends to learn what's taboo.
Sure.
There's a lot of things fan base that you won't know until you're here, what you should or should not say in the presence of different types of people or cosplayers or whatever, that you just wouldn't know if you didn't have experience. And so there's some weird things going on beside me.
We're doing the mouthing of the cosplay is not consent. If you've never been to a convention, you might think, wow, I can wrap my arm around this girl because she's got a really cool costume and we're going to be in a picture together. Well, sometimes people don't want to be touched.
And that's exactly my point. I mean, if this is your first time and you're not a big nerd as some of us are, and you're not used to those kind of things, you may not know that, and that could be looked down upon. So I would say, you know, learn what you can and can't do, what you should and should not do, and hook up with friends for safety, if anything.
That's a very good point. You know, that's definitely something that, especially in our modern-day world with some of the tumultuous things that can go on in general, you know, safety is a big thing that that I don't think we all account for until sometimes it's a little too late. So, yeah, definitely, you know, if you're at a con, even if you're, you know, a single guy who works out all the time, 2 or 3 dudes can, you know, take you out if they're trying to steal your wallet or something like that. If you're traveling with a buddy, I mean, that's kind of a off-the-wall example, but my point is it's really good to travel in groups, and especially if you have an interest in doing convention going and you have a dedicated group of friends that want you to have just as good a time as they have, then allow them the responsibility of helping you by staying safe in that kind of an environment, by learning some of the inside things that you don't learn your very first time going in. An example that I have is, you know, my wife and I went to Gen Con for the first time. I paid for our Thursday ticket. We had such a good time together. She paid for our Sunday ticket. She wasn't even really into, like, gaming like she is now. I think the closest she got was some traditional American style board games, Monopoly, things like that. You know, I was into all kinds of different Dungeons and Dragons and Magic the Gathering, all kinds of board games and stuff, so I was stoked about going. But she had such a good time that she wanted to come back, and I feel like that has everything to do with I wanted to have a good time and I want her to have a good time, and she was the same way. And I think that your friends can really contribute to that fact. You know, Aaron wanted you to have a good time, so, you know, he made sure that the schedule that you put together and the research that you guys put together was going to give you the things that you wanted out of the con. There may be things that you want to do more of or less of to do something else instead, but the nice thing is you now have that experience and you have a friend that you can rely on that's going to say, hey, if we go to Gen Con, these are the ins and outs that you need to know. You know, don't schedule a game that is in one hotel and then a game that's an hour later in another hotel and not stop and eat something. You know, those kind of things, those kind of tips. That's why we like to do these sort of wrap-up shows and these sort of review shows for cons, is because every year we learn something new, and we've been going to conventions for years and years and years. And so this is an opportunity for us to continue to enlighten people who don't know what's going on, and apparently hang out with prom goers that are coming down the escalator, right? Well, it's cons. You know, it's a con season. So it's a con season. Well, yeah, they are.
Yeah, they are.
Anyway.
Yeah, look at it. Look at all those dresses.
Those are too long to be prom dresses.
Oh, not all of them. Not all of them.
Prom is supposed to be long dresses. Homecoming is short dresses.
Oh, really?
There are no rules anymore, Avital. No gods, no masters.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't even know what's going on.
So before we get too much distracted, I want to thank you guys all for joining us for episode 120, the After the Fact review for Indiana Comic Con 2016.
I had a good time. Gen Con.
And the apparently cheerleading competition slash prom slash
emergency services.
Emergency services.
And a Zamboni.
And the Zamboni. Thank you for the Zamboni driver that came by.
Okay. I'll kill you in 5 minutes.
That's right. Aaron, Josh, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Aaron, where can we see you outside of just hanging out with us here?
You can follow me on Instagram at Lost Toy Box.
There you go, Lost Toy Box. Josh, do you have anything going on?
I'm on Facebook at Josh Goodwin.
Okay, there
that's
you go.
Me. We're also in Adventures in Videoland out of Lafayette, which is Facebook and Instagram as well.
Sweet, there you go. And, you know, we've got tons of cons coming up to hang out and tons of other goofy stuff that we're going to be recording. So thank you guys. Yes, Josh?
I have a fact.
Oh, gosh.
I do. I know. I don't get
these.
This is
a donated fact.
It is a donated fact. We are The Established Facts, a podcast about all things gaming, only at The Established Facts. Sorry. I'm not the special guy at this, okay? You didn't have anything.
That's what happens when people jump the gun.
No, that's fine.
He didn't have anything.
I didn't.
Jump the shark?
Jump the shark. Why are people jumping sharks? They gotta kill them.
That's right. Remember to jump the shark.
Hit us with some social media, Josh.
Oh, gosh. That's what the closing tag does.
Anyway.
It does.
Okay. Yes. I've been gone a while.
This is painful. Can we end
it? I'm trying. Thank you so much for joining us on episode 120. Come see us at Indie PopCon. Make sure you make your reservations for your tickets at DrewCon. Derek would kill me if I didn't say that.
True.
Beginning of June. Indie PopCon is the 17th, 18th, and 19th of July. June.
Indie PopCon sponsored by the Established Facts.
That's right. Sponsored
by podcast. That's right. Sponsored by the Established Facts.
We can say that.
I know. I just said that. And that's right. Make sure you get your tickets. Make sure you get your tickets for Gen Con. Make sure you just turn this episode off. We love you. Thank you so much for listening to us, and we will check y'all later.
Bye.
Please visit us at www.theestablishedfacts.com and our Facebook page, facebook.com/theestablishedfacts. If you would like to support us by buying some merchandise, visit cafepress.com/castingrobot. Bonus!